Welcome to the Best of Women's Fiction podcast. I'm Lainey Cameron, and I'm so thrilled you're here. I'm an author of women's fiction, a digital nomad, and a book marketing expert. Find out more about how I can help you with that at laineycameron.com. I'm also the author of The Exit Strategy, fun feminist fiction, and a 14-time book award winner. I created this podcast to showcase authors and books I admire. If you enjoy it, I'd love if you subscribed, and even better, give it some stars or a quick review. Now let's get to this week's special guest. In this episode, Mickey Bertolo-Morency shares the inspiration behind her debut novel, The Island Sisters, a story about four women from Haiti, St. Thomas, and Guam, whose fates are bound together by culture, history, and most importantly, friendship. This is a novel that in my own review I called emotional, thought-provoking, poignant, and a tribute to friendship and women's strength to overcome. Before we start, a special note not to miss Women's Fiction Day coming this week on June 8th. This is a celebration of the women's fiction genre where many women's fiction authors, including myself, will be offering special offers and giveaways. We have a giveaway ourselves from the podcast. You can enter already at www.bestofwomensfiction.com. I am so excited to be here with Mickey Bertolo-Morency because, Mickey, I got to read an early copy of this book and I called it one of my favorite books of 2023. I already know that, even though we're not that far into the year, because it's that good. I loved the theme of friendship, the idea of women uplifting each other and making each other better and empowering each other. Man, you nailed it. Congratulations. This is a phenomenal debut novel.
Thank you. Thank you so much. That really means a lot. And it's amazing you use the adjective phenomenal. My editor said that when she sent me the edit notes, she said, that's a phenomenal read. I'm like, oh, this is so neat.
Well, if folks don't yet know about this book, it's actually coming out in a few weeks from now. Why don't you tell them a little bit about The Island Sisters?
Actually, The Island Sisters launches June 20th, 2023. And it's the story of four island women. They actually from different islands, Haiti, St. Thomas, and Guam. Well, I'm from Haiti, and I've lived in Guam and St. Thomas. So the book is about the four women meeting on a college campus and finding out that they share a lot of history in their childhood of abuse. And so they forge this friendship that's going to carry them over the years to overcome a lot of obstacles. And their friendship is so strong that even when they're not in the same place, they are connected, you know, by that friendship. And it's very prominent in the book. And so that's basically what The Island Sisters is about.
And I know in my own review, some of the words I used were emotional, thought-provoking, poignant. And I think I compared the novel to Steel Magnolias in that you've got this interwoven narrative of four women and they've all got their own stories and yet they're all connected, like you said. I'm fascinated by your inspiration. Like, what gave you the idea to write a novel like this?
Well, so okay. The idea came from me having worked as a case manager at a long-term transitional housing for women and their children. I always say, of all the careers that I've had over the years, that was my most rewarding work because I was able to get women out of homelessness into like home ownership. But the most important part of my job was to build them up professionally, emotionally, to be able to stand on their two feet and not have to rely on other people to make them whole. Because I've noticed that at the core of their issues of being homeless, and there's always a man, there's always like a relationship that didn't go well. So they stay until they had to leave. And then, so my job was to build them up. So that's where the inspiration for the book came from. And I actually also personally knew women, you know, who had gone through some really hard relationship. A friend of mine had called me to share with me something that was happening in her personal life. And I always rely on my journal. So I started writing and I'm like, wait a minute, you know, this is happening to a lot of women that I know, women that I work with, just more from a journal entry to like, oh, maybe it's an essay and then into a book. Because I had the privilege of living in Guam and St. Thomas for a period of time. So I kind of like decided to use those settings because they were just so beautiful.
One of the things that was interesting to me was how culture affected the women. They came from island cultures, and I thought this intersection of how your culture affects your view of what you deserve in life, how life is supposed to work out, and also how your view of what you deserve in life affects issues like abuse. If you don't believe that you deserve better, or you believe that this is the best it can be, you're willing to put up with a lot that you should do better and you should move on. And so I thought you treated that so thoughtfully and carefully. And was that hard, trying to portray like the intersection of culture and women's psyche and how they feel about their self-worth?
Personally, I've never experienced abuse. So I just want to make that clear. I mean, I was born in Haiti. I grew up with, you know, in a family, very loving family. And I'm married to a very, very nice man for a few decades. So I've never personally experienced it. However, growing up as a child, I remember seeing women, Lenny, running out of their home with their clothes torn up. And then there's always a man running behind them. I noticed like everybody like would go about doing whatever it is they were doing. Nobody would go to help her because it was so accepted. It was like a normal thing. But even as a child, I thought, wait a minute, children are spent, but not grown-ups, you know? So I already had a sense that I would never let anybody do that to me. I wasn't even experiencing that as a child. So yes, the culture definitely played a role in why certain women would accept, particularly when it comes to personal relationship, whether it's marriage, whether it's dating. There's this expectation, for example, that you need to be married. You know, I mean, being married is kind of like part of what makes you successful. Whereas for me, at a very younger age, I'm kind of like a rebel. It's always about making myself better. I mean, I wanted to go to college. I wanted to get an education. I wanted to stand on my 2 feet before I merged my life with a man. I've always wanted him to understand that I can live because I have the means to live. So that's why I taught that to my daughters, because I'm a mother of daughters. You have to be okay with yourself. You know, this whole self-love, self-reliance, it was drilled into me too. I mean, by my dad, who was kind of like a Renaissance man, coming from Haiti, from his era. I mean, he really empowered us, his daughters. I have three sisters and myself. So that's where I come from. And I share that to my work with other women. In a way, it was hard to kind of like relive things that I've seen, that I've heard, you know, even in my own extended family. But then I also felt like, okay, I need to write this down. I need for people to read this. And this happens to real people every day, everywhere in the world.
These themes are very common across women around the world, being able to leave abusive relationships, and the idea that the women help each other see it differently. I thought you portrayed love in a lovely way. The best way to get over that is for other people to kind of reflect back at you what you're doing. I thought you captured that really well. I'm Thank fascinated you. By the bracelets. The bracelets play a very, or the bangles play a very key role in this book, right? They bind these women together. They get them when they're in college and they keep them and they show up all the way through the book. They clink them on the phone call. They clink them when they're together.
When authors say, I didn't know I was going to write that. And I used to think, oh, well, you know, how come? Well, one day I'm writing this scene in the beginning of the book, and it was Christmas, right? And I thought, oh, well, they should be opening present. It was their freshman year and they don't have money. You know, they're freshmen, they don't have money. However, one of the characters is from a very wealthy family, a very wealthy Haitian family. So she has money. And I thought, oh, wouldn't it be nice if Monique would buy them something? And I'm like, oh, yeah, some bracelet. So that's how it came about. It was like a 2 minutes thing. And then I'm like, okay, so they're going to wear the bracelet. So what are they going to do with the bracelet? So as they start going in different direction, you know, moving to different states, going back home, and I'm like, oh, that bracelet is going to connect them, just like the bangle has no beginning and no end.
That's a brilliant lead-in to a question I love to ask, which is, did the book change a lot during editing? It's interesting because you've got four different stories. Like, is there anything a listener here, someone who's going to read this book, might be surprised is different than the original versions?
Well, you know, the only thing I would say that was different is when I started writing the book. Now, understand this is my debut, and I had never done that before. So I thought I had to start writing the women as children in their home countries, you know, on their respective islands. So I kind of overwrote the book. It was a lot before I understood that I can show them as children without starting with their mothers giving birth to them, right? A lot of that part kind of stayed on the cutting floor, if you will. As you know, I mean, I may use it for something else one day.
Before I ask you a little more about your writing advice, let me read a quote, an early quote about the book, which I think captures it in a really lovely way. It's from Hannah Summerhill, who's the co-author of Real Friends Talk About Race and the co-host of the Kinswoman podcast. And she says, Morrency's vivid writing transported me into the lives of Monique, Cecilia, and Lenny, and Ella. The Island Sisters is a beautiful and wrenching story of family, domestic violence, and most importantly, the transcendent power of real friendship. What a beautiful, beautiful quote.
It is a beautiful quote. And it really captures the essence of the book and the strength of the friendship that the women share, you know, regardless what they're going through. And they have gone through a lot that they know that they can depend on each other. Like they fight, you know, they have, just like any relationship, they don't always agree with each other. I mean, there's jealousy because we are human. So there's that human element. I want what you have, or my problem are not as hard or difficult as mine. Mine is worse. I wanted to show that. I mean, they love each other, they support each other, but there are times they get on each other's nerves. I mean, that it's just normal.
Which of the women do you most relate to? It's a hard question, I know. It's like asking you to pick a child, but is there one that as you were writing it, you found easier than the others?
Yes, Monique. And people who know me, Lenny, I mean, who have read the book said, oh my God, yeah, you're like a Monique. To some extent, yeah, I'm kind of like direct and I speak my mind. And I had to learn that. I had to learn that, of course. Coming here from Haiti, it's funny, I just wrote something today and along the line of how when I came here from Haiti, which is an all Black country, right? I came here and encountered a lot of adversities and obstacles. And I thought it was okay because that wasn't my country, that wasn't my land, that I was living in their country until I was educated enough to understand, wait a minute, I belong anywhere and everywhere that I happen to be. I'm kind of like a Monique. I learned to fight for myself.
So let's talk a little bit about advice. Is there anything you would say to your past self or people who are looking at you as a debut and thinking like, how did Mickey do it?
Well, you know how I did it is I wrote as if it wasn't going to be published. It kind of took the pressure off, you know, and I allow myself to be vulnerable and I allow my characters to be vulnerable. So I'd say write. I mean, I've always written, like I said, in my journal for the longest time now. Understand English is like my third language. So actually would podcast piece about that, writing in your third language. A lot of people had told me like, I couldn't do that. And I'm like, well, yes, I can. But I started with, okay, well, I'm going to write. And if people read it, they read it. So don't put the pressure on yourself that I'm writing this particular piece because I want it to be published. For me, it's a lot of pressure. But if I write knowing that, okay, I'm writing for me, I'm writing because I just want to give voice to these women that I knew, and whatever happened. Of course, don't give up. You have to persevere because, as you know, this is a tough thing to do. I mean, it's very competitive. It's very hard. You hear a lot of no's, and then you question yourself. The whole imposter syndrome thing is so real. Again, it comes down to, okay, I'm going to do it and I'm going to try it. So if it works, it works. If it doesn't work, well, so be it. At least I've written something that I wanted to write. Of course, now that the book is actually going to come out, I get a little nervous. Are people really going to like it? I mean, I'm really putting myself out there. It's a little bit scary. Yeah.
But, for those who are on the podcast, you can't see that I'm frantically nodding, saying, yes, it is. It's really, really good. It's one of my favorite books of the year.
So I'm still dealing with it, I think.
It's interesting that you say that English is not the first language you learned, because I would never have guessed that from reading the book. There's no sign anywhere in this book that English wouldn't be the first language you spoke as a kid.
No, I actually speak Haitian Creole. That's my first language. And then French, because French is still officially our language spoken in government and school. I was taught in French in school in Haiti. And so when I came here, I spoke two languages, Creole and French. So I had to go to English school. And so, but after so many years, you know, I think I do okay with it. You know, it's funny. I remember, you know, when I was in school in Boston, because I have to tell you, when I came from Haiti, my family landed in Boston in the winter. And I came in a sundress and white strappy sandals. And people were staring at me on the plane. And I thought, oh, I must be cute. You know, that's why they're looking at me. And so when we landed and I look outside and there was actually white stuff on the ground, I'm like, what is that stuff here? My first thought was ice. What is ice doing on the ground? You know, I mean, where I come from, ice belong in a drink or on dead people. So that ended up being in the book, you know, because I'm like, I had to put that in the book because I actually really thought of that because I'm from Haiti. I mean, it's a tropical place. It's 90 degrees all the time. And so you can imagine how hard it was, the whole assimilation thing. It was very hard. And I was a young teen and I wanted to go back home, but I didn't. I'm glad I didn't. I stayed. But I remember the first story that I wrote, my teacher said, oh, that's a beautiful story. Would you read it to the class? I'm like, no, I wouldn't even like speak, very self-conscious about my accent. And you know how kids can be mean and, you know, make fun of you.
Yeah.
So yeah, I went through all that. And so here is a woman who had experience. I was bullied, you know, I mean, because. So now I feel very comfortable in my skin, like who I am. And so I can, you know, write in English. So I write in English because that's kind of like had become my language.
Right. It's interesting that two of my favorite books this year, your book and also Dust Child, and I always try really hard to say her name right and get it wrong, but Kay Mai, who's been on the podcast in the past, and she writes she writes in English. Vietnamese is her first language. I love her book too. You know, there's something about the soul of Vietnam and the way she gets it on the page that's just amazing. And I got that same sensation of like living the characters' lives as I was reading your book. Like, I think those are the books that I fall in love with, where I feel like I get to live someone else's experience, an experience very different to my own. Last question for you. I imagine you're a big reader. Is there anything you like to read or you've appreciated recently?
Yes, I'm on a quest to like read diverse books. So I'm a member of Wax and Gay's book club called the Audacious Book Club. And she typically picks books from diverse authors. And I'm currently reading a book called Hijab Butch Blues. Lamai H. That's not her real name because she's a queer, devout Muslim woman. And that book is just amazing. And then the book I read before that was Daughters of Smoke and Fire by Ava Homa. And she has written the first book in English written by a Kurdish female author. So I love to read books about cultures and peoples that I may never have a chance to visit. As you know, fiction and form a lot. Look at my book. It's a fiction, but it's actually based on real events that happened to real people. I had just finished reading Age of Vice by Dipti Kapoor. She's an Indian female author. By having read that book before I went to India, it made it so much easier for me to understand what I was seeing, what I was smelling, eating, and feeling. So I would urge people to like read outside of their own identities because there's just a big world out there.
You know, Ava has actually been on the podcast in the past and we talked about her book and the struggle of the Kurdish. And yeah, it's a great book. I'll put it in the show notes.
I love her book, yes.
Link to her episode too. Yeah. Before we wrap up, is there anything I haven't asked you that you especially like to talk about relative to this book or relative to your inspiration or your writing life?
The Island Sisters actually is the very first manuscript that I had written. I wrote it, like I said, it wasn't necessarily like, oh, this is going to be a book. I just wrote it because I just wanted to write about the lives of these women. But I was ready to kind of like write number two manuscript, number three for the proverbial drawer because I didn't think it was going to be picked up. So it did, which was amazing to me because I hate to say that wasn't necessarily my expectation was, okay, I know I need to write three or four manuscripts before, you know, I'm going to have something out there. So yeah, it blew me away that was the very first thing I've ever written. But I had since written a second book, so, and working on a third.
Last question, where can folks find you if they want to know more about the novel and they want to follow your progress and more about the book and the next books?
I have a website. It's mickeymorency.com. And I'm on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter as Mickey Bertolo Morency. I have a newsletter that, you know, people can sign for from my website. I really only send one out like every 2 months because I'm so busy. I don't have time, you know, like fill people's inbox with stuff just because. So that's where I can be found.
I'll put all the links on the website at bestofwomensfiction.com. And I'm excited for everybody to get their hands on this book. It's coming real soon as this episode comes out and folks can pre-order it now. We wanted to get you in before the end of the season. So we had you come a little bit before your book releases, but it's already up there and available for pre-order.
Well, thank you so much. That was so much
thank
fun
you.
And I enjoyed it and I appreciate it. I was so excited to be picked up to be on this podcast.
If folks don't know, we get hundreds of applications each season for only 10 episodes. So it is a big deal when we pick an author to put on the podcast. It means it's a book we are truly excited about and recommend that our listeners read.
I feel so special, Lainey. Thank you.
For links to the books featured in this episode, the video version, the author's social media, and more, visit bestofwomensfiction.com. I'd love it if you'd follow me, Lainey Cameron, on Instagram or TikTok. And if you enjoy the podcast, we really appreciate reviews and shares.